Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, fight fans, and welcome to this issue of Knuckle Up on Sports Action Network Radio. It's your host, George Bowley, and as always, sitting in, the editor at The MMA Corner and Scrap Fight Magazine, Mr. Josh Davis. He'll be joining us shortly. But we have a lot to talk about, We have Glory tonight, Glory Kickboxing, right in my backyard down the street in Trenton. And I will be covering that event tonight as well for Scrap Fight Magazine. And then tomorrow we have UFC 203 in Cleveland, where you're going to have a heavyweight fight between Overeem and Stipe Miocic. So it's definitely looking to be a great weekend of fights. We're just really waiting for Josh to come in and we can start talking. You know, 203 is really, quite honestly, one of the stronger cards we've actually seen from the UFC to UFC 200. What's going on, brother? How are you?
Oh, just enjoying the day, getting ready for RFA in Denver this evening. We got Titan tonight as well, and then UFC 203 tomorrow.
Got Glory tonight.
Got Glory, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Busy weekend to be a fight fan.
So let me ask you really quick before we get started. I know the UFC is really pushing this whole Ultimate Fighter. What 16 champions are they talking about? Are they just from regional organizations?
So pretty much everybody but Bellator and ONE FC has a champion in this season of Tufts. So RFA has their 125-pound champion. Titan gave up Tim Elliott, who is their 125-pound champion. So there are some, you know, quality promotions out there that have done that. The kid from World Series of Fighting also is in there. And then the Alaskan AFC, the Alaskan Fight Championship. Now, a lot of people think Alaska, there's not any talent there, but there is. Rich Franklin actually came up through that promotion. Their champion is in there. So they do have some quality champions. And so far, again, it's only 2 weeks in, but we have seen three fights now. And, you know, so far this season has actually produced. It's been solid.
Nice. Absolutely. All right, let's get to it really quick. We have any real news?
There's nothing significant going on right now. I mean, everything is obviously pushing for UFC 203. They didn't really even do anything follow-up related to last weekend's event.
What'd you think about last weekend's event?
Honestly, you know, it was decent. I mean, it wasn't off the wall great. It didn't suck. It was solid. And again, on Fight Pass, can't really complain.
Yeah. You know, absolutely. I thought it was an okay event. You know, kudos to Ryan Bader and, you know, his knockout of the night. At least I thought it was. I don't know if he had earned knockout of the night or not. Like you said, they didn't really send too much follow up with that. Josh Barnett, grinding it out, submitting Arlovski. But let me ask you, you think Arlovski just gave up the submission? I thought he could have fought out of it a little bit.
I thought Arlovski, to be honest, looked tired. And I agree, I think he could have fought out of it. But I think I don't know what he had left in the gas tank to continue on, even if he did, you know, fight out of it. How much more did he have left? And so I'm a firm believer that there are times when a fighter knows he's done and they do take an easy way out. They give up an arm so they can tap out, whatever the case may be. And I do think Andre, if he really had it in him, could have powered out of it, could have changed positions, could have got out of that submission. But he just gave in. It was a long fight. And when you're as big as they are, even if it's only, two rounds and a couple minutes into the third, whatever the case is, that's still a lot. That's a lot of time to be banging. And so, I don't know how much Andre has left in him, but he gave it what he could.
There's no doubt about it. Don't forget, you're dealing with heavyweights. Both of these guys got clipped in the beginning. And I don't care what anybody says. When you're in a fight and you get clipped, you're never back to 100%. You're just not. You're fighting and you're dealing with it, but that's always there. You see what I mean? And it could take one more big rattle to shut your lights off or get your legs wobbly, whatever it does. But, like I said, you're dealing with heavyweights, guys that put you out one punch. And we saw that. Both guys got clipped in the first round, I think within the first minute of the fight, 2 minutes of the fight, and both of them went to a knee immediately.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So that's the one thing that's really devastating about these 4-ounce gloves, if I can just be honest. We see how heavy hands boxers are in heavyweights, when they get hit with that type of power. So just imagine getting hit basically with these knuckle covers, because that's all they are. It's devastating, completely devastating.
I tell people all the time when they ask, what is a 4-ounce glove? And I say, have you ever talked to an officer and they have their little gloves on and it doesn't look like anything but weightlifting gloves? You're essentially looking at the same thing. All they're doing is covering your knuckles. They're not providing any kind of protection. They're not providing any kind of padding. All they do is cover your knuckles.
No doubt about it. Hold on a minute.
But they do serve a purpose, because without them, it would be bare knuckle. And, we all know that bare knuckle is not acceptable in this country anymore.
I do apologize for that little break.
Oh,
my
no.
4-year-old had to tell me something.
Wants to join the show. Can't blame him for that.
Oh, man, imagine that. So, good news, though. She started her first Taekwondo class yesterday, so I'll text you off the air, brother, the picture. It's adorable.
Nice. Nice. Now, let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
The wheels will fall off, but since you're, world class in that area, you coach other kids, so on and so forth. Are you going to coach your own? Will you be your daughter's coach?
Yes. And my son, both of them, for two reasons. One, outside instruction can only take them so far. There's limitations. With the knowledge that I have and the training that I have, quite honestly, the skill set, not to deviate from the radio show, but the skill set that I have is not proficient for commercial martial arts schools. Because there's certain things that you can't teach in commercial or professional martial arts schools for liability purposes. People want you to believe that, if they grab you, I'll do this, this, this. But a lot of those techniques aren't viable techniques in street self-defense because of the liability purposes, okay? And the second thing is, kids being kids, this is something that you're going to teach them after they've been in it for a while to respect what they're doing, because everybody does it. My teenagers, my adults, you teach them something and I hear they're at work. Oh, grab my hand. I learned this in class last night. You're like, no, you can't do that, because the wrong tweak, the wrong snap, the wrong this. You see what I'm saying? You're liable for all that damage that you've caused. Like I said, it's happened from my kids' class to my teenagers' class to my adults' class. All that stuff gets back to me. People tell me what my students are doing. So with them, I'm going to teach them, because I have a certain amount of things that I have to install in them, because God forbid the world that we live in today, daddy won't be able to come get them fast enough. They have to, you know, move, put somebody down,
yep.
remove themselves from the harm, and then call me, see what I mean? And they need a certain set of skills that they have to have.
Absolutely.
That's for the self-defense application of what they're learning and what they will be learning eventually over time. But as far as sport, I have to give them a certain set of skills, but I have to let them go. I have to send them to somebody who is qualified enough to do sport and let dad just step back and be like a little insistent, you know, a little coach, a little minute, but listen to this guy. You see what I mean? Because if I get too invested in that part of the process, I may miss a few things. Like, for instance, I train my son differently than I train my students because he's my son. You see what
yep.
I mean? And he doesn't get a pass. I train him actually the way that I learned, which was very difficult because I learned overseas when I first started. So to answer your question, yeah, for self-defense, that'll be on me. For sport, I'll get him there, but I have to pass him off to another coach just to deal with their sport aspect of their training.
You know, and I like how you put that because I've taught my daughter certain things as it relates to jiu-jitsu and hand-to-hand combat. But I've always told her, if you ever want to compete, then daddy will put you in school because, no, I'm not. That's my expectations. I can't coach my own child because, like you said, they will never get a free pass. While just normal students, yeah, they will. You know, kids will be kids. But when I'm dealing with my child, I have expectations. And when we're in the classroom, you're not being a kid, you're there to learn. And so, you know, again, my mindset's just different. And so I know I struggle teaching my daughter anything outside of just our household or in our, you know, our downstairs in our basement gym.
Oh, yeah, we're in the basement as well, too. You know, I mean, there's no doubt about it. Why would I spend money for them to go to somebody else and learn when, you know, I'm the one that needs to teach them the foundation of and the basics first, you know? So, I mean, you're absolutely right. But I agree with you. It's very, very, very hard. It's very hard as a parent to separate that part of it. It's very hard, you know? If he ever wanted to train for nationals and world championship like I did, I would have to send him off to somebody else because, you know, they would know how to put him in that mindset. You see what I mean? Only thing I could teach him is giving him those specific set of skills, quite honestly, that would get him to that level if he wanted to use it for sport. And I'll put dime to donuts, he'll be able to beat anybody because I trained him. I know what he has, doesn't have. You see what I mean? But the pressure on him would be ginormous. I mean, no kid really can compete under that kind of pressure. I mean, we even seen in professional fighting. How many fighters out there are really coached by their father who taught them and instructed them and so forth and so on? And so you hear their father in the corner after they've gone second hard round and it's a rough fight. And he's sitting there just drilling them. Come on, you got to, you see what I mean? And
yep.
The kid is just like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But in his eyes, he's like, Dad, you're not in the fight. You just don't know what happened or just what I went through all of it. You see what I mean? And so it's hard. It's hard to deal with that in that type of manner. Even professional sports, it's really hard. Combat sports, it's really hard. You know, as a matter of fact, past the riff with Mayweather, that's why his father really couldn't train him. And when his father came back, I think for one fight, it might have been the Pacquiao fight, Floyd was looking at his father like, if you don't get out of my face, I'm going to punch you.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if you saw that tension or not. But that was the look on his face, like, just leave me alone. So it's crazy. Crazy.
It's tough. It's tough. And yeah, no, it is. It's crazy. It truly is crazy.
All right. Circling back, we have about 15 minutes left in the show. Glory 33. Like I was saying in the beginning, you know, Glory is right basically in my back door, right? It's half an hour down the street, so I'm going to cover that tonight at 8 o'clock. But Glory's been doing some things. The question that I have for you, quite honestly, is how do you think that they're going to fare or do you think Bellator Kickboxing is going to be able to keep up?
Well, if Viacom wants to throw the money behind Bellator Kickboxing, let's just be honest, they could blow anybody out of the water, even the UFC, if the UFC wanted to start their own kickboxing league or whatever, for the simple fact that they have unlimited funds and they can put themselves in millions and millions and millions of homes throughout the world. So if Viacom truly gets behind it, they'll destroy any competition. However, Viacom's proven that while they say they're behind it financially, they're not really behind anything. And you see that in just how they, have pushed Bellator and Bellator Kickboxing. So I think Glory's going to continue to be the pinnacle in kickboxing for some time to come. I think Lion Fights is their closest competition. I really love what those guys are doing. But I think Bellator's got some work to do. They have a lot of kickboxing talent, but they can't just do it, half-minded. They have to, really put forth the effort if it's going to be something that sustains 100 events. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it, I've always liked what Glory have done. I think Glory really is what showcased kickboxing, professionally throughout the world and brought it back. Because this wasn't the first time that we've tried kickboxing, as I said before, here in the United States. And kickboxers never really had a platform in real major prize fighting, so to speak. Glory was the first time when they started cutting winners' checks, complete checks for $100,000, in professional sports, one event, one night. And they did it with style. They did it with panache. You know what I mean? Fighters now didn't have to say, I'm going into MMA because there's nothing really that I can do. Glory really put the stamp on it. And I like Bellator. I think I like what Bellator is doing. And I like the competition. Look, any major organization where fighters can get paid and taken care of, I'm all for it. Definitely all for it. But I think Bellator Kickboxing has a ways to go before it really gets some traction. I mean, Glory right now is the premier. This is a premier kickboxing fight organization globally. You don't even hear about K1 anymore.
Yeah, no, in my mind, there's no question who the top dog is. It's Glory. And then here in the States, if you just want fun, exciting, action-packed kickboxing fights, definitely check out Lion Fights because they produce, week in and week out. Bellator, and again, we are Bellator people. I mean, we have a very, very good relationship with Bellator. Bellator Kickboxing isn't on my radar as one of the elite kickboxing organizations yet. Yes, they have the talent and they could be there, but they still have a ways to go before they get to the level of Glory.
No doubt about it. All right. Like I said, check out our Facebook page at Scrap Fight Magazine. I will be covering Glory 33 tonight in Trenton. There's two championship fights, so it should definitely be a good time. Fights start at, the doors open at 5 o'clock. So definitely should be interesting. Hold on a minute.
You gotta love the kids. I have one myself, and don't even worry about it.
Killing me. My wife is out of town, so everything has been thrusted upon me. So I have double duty. Oh. Killing me.
Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome.
Let's talk about the card for UFC really quick. Finish your thought, and then we'll go over 203 one time.
I was just going to say, I had to bring my daughter to studio one night for the same reasons. My wife was out of town and I didn't have a babysitter, so I had to bring her in studio, and she's usually in bed at that time. And so trying to explain to her that daddy was on air and she couldn't just come running in and scream daddy, daddy, was interesting.
definitely challenging.
She ended up
definitely
doing half the show on my lap.
No doubt about it. UFC 203. I mean, look, for the fighters that are on this card, and this, and I'm really talking about the style of fighters, really, not the fighters. 203 really is a solid card, you know, and they really blessed Stipe by bringing in his hometown and really putting it in, you know, really holding an event there, should I say. What fights really are you looking at? You know, we have Dalloway on FS1, we have we have Lentz, you know, we have Tavares, the main event, you know, we have Faber, Verdum, and
that's,
you know,
the one
main event
that I'm looking to. That's the one I'm looking at, honestly, the most is Verdum versus Travis Brown. Yes, we've already seen this fight, and the first time Verdum was able to outstrike the striker, it shocked us all. I want to see how Verdum responds to his sloppy performance in his title defense and getting knocked out by Stipe Miocic. And not only do I want to see how he bounces back, but immediately following him is the man who took his title, defending it for the first time.
Right.
Absolutely, Verdum wants to, you know, go on and put on a good showing and be able to say that it was a fluke, all that kind of stuff. There's much more than just going out and fighting in this fight. He's got so many things going on mentally. I want to see how he bounces back. And this, in my mind, is a must-win fight for Travis Brown. You can't suffer another loss to Fabricio Verdum. Because, again, if he gets another title shot and then wins the title, as long as he has it, you're not getting a title shot. So this is a must-win fight for Travis Brown, or he is going back to the very, very, very bottom of the division. And so that, honestly, is the fight that I'm looking forward to the most. I think Miocic and Overeem is going to be exciting and probably offer the most fireworks because someone is going to get knocked out in that fight. But the one that I think means the most for the overall division is Verdum versus Brown.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about it, you know. Like I said, you have Lentz on the card, you have Tavares on the card. Like these fights are great fights, but really, this basically a heavyweight card. I mean, I'm not even sold on this whole CM Punk thing. I mean, it's for me, it's not that I'm not doubting, but look, you have a guy on the main event card, and then you have another guy like CB Dalloway on the FS1 card. You see what I mean? Like, it's just a kick in the teeth. Here's a guy who's been with the organization for years, you know, blood, sweat, and tears, and the guy who comes in with a 0-0 record gets on the main card when he's supposed to be, in my opinion, on the early prelims, if I'm just being honest. But that's just the way that the UFC does its marketing, you know, for some of its events. And, you know, I think the favorite fight, quite honestly, I'm not taking anything from Jimmy, but I think the Faber fight is just a gimme fight for Faber. You know, to be quite honest, I thought he was actually going to walk away after his last fight. It sounded like he was done, you know. So maybe this is just everybody likes to go out with a win, you know, and maybe this is just his fight going out on a win. I don't know, but I think it's a gimme fight. I don't think Jimmy Rivera has the talent to compete with Faber, even though Faber, in my opinion, has lost a step. You know, one step back is probably five steps for Rivera, if I'm just being honest.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't know this to be 100% fact, but the people that I know within the circles have basically said that when Uriah went back and talked to Dana and the UFC, they basically just said, look, Uriah, you're Uriah Faber. You have this amount of money guaranteed on your contract. We'll do what you want. If you want us to push you for another title, we'll do that. If you want so-called big money fights, we'll do that. Or if you just want to fight out the remaining, you know, fights against whomever and get that guaranteed money, because it is quite a bet. That's what you should do. But if you just walk away, you are leaving a lot and lots of money on the table. And so I think that's where we're at. And I think we'll see Uriah take this fight and, you know, two more, and that'll probably be, you know, the end of Uriah Faber.
Look, when prize fighting, sometimes you have, just have to get there. You know, sometimes, I hate to say it, it's just about the money, you know, and stacking as much as you can to be able to move on to your next venture. So I'm not mad at him at all. I, you know, I'm not in that position, but I can guarantee you I wouldn't leave that kind of money on the table. You know what I mean?
No.
I just wouldn't.
No.
You know,
because it's not like, you know, you or I with day jobs, whatever, where we have 401ks and all these other kind of retirements. Fighters don't have that. And so if you're walking away from guaranteed money just to show up, you know, I hope you're significantly, you know, wealthy already. And I think Ryan knows, he's a businessman. Uriah Faber does not get credit for how savvy he is. This guy owns multiple businesses. He owns a few different gyms. He does a lot of different things. He's very business savvy. And again, when you just think of numbers, it makes no sense for him not to fight out his contract.
No doubt about it. Really quick, I'm going to pick a few fights and see who you have. Stevie Dalloway versus, what's this? I can't even say his name.
Yeah, and you don't need to, because this is CB Dalloway. From what I've been told, he has been training like a beast. He's ready to go. I am a CB fan. You know, when this guy shows up, when he's right mentally, he's on point. And from everything I've been told, as he's got his head in the game, he's had an excellent camp, I'm going CB Dalloway.
Okay. Jessica I versus Betch Carrera.
You know, I like Betch. I really do. I think she's an elite fighter, but I think Jessica I's taking this.
You know, Betch really hasn't been the same since she got knocked out.
No.
I don't know. Well, I do know how that happens. It happens to most fighters. You know, it snaps their confidence. They become punchy and hesitant. You know, but she really hasn't. She really hasn't. So it's going to be interesting to see, but this is a 10 and 11. So, you know, I think Betch is going to want to come back strong, but I think Jessica's just a little bit smarter than her for that. We already spoke about Faber and Rivera. Punk versus Gall.
You know, first off, I like Mickey Gall. Okay, this kid's an actual fighter. He's legit. But I'm not going to count out Phil Brooks. I'm not going to count out CM Punk. First off, the guy has trained Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu for many, many, many years. Whether wrestling is fake or not, those guys are athletes. Their bodies do take a pounding. He knows how to put his body through a grueling competition such as fighting. I don't think that Phil Brooks is going to wilt underneath the pressure like a lot of people do. I think Phil Brooks is going to go out and fight his butt off. Whether or not he's good enough to beat Mickey Gall is yet to be seen. But I don't think Phil Brooks is a punk like his name says he is. I think Phil Brooks has been taking this serious. He's been training, again, with your boy Duke Rufus. If Duke doesn't see something in you, he's not spending the time with you regardless of your fame. That means
Absolutely. Nothing
to Duke. You have to be a fighter. And so the fact that Duke believes in him kind of tells me all I need to know about whether or not Phil Brooks can actually fight. I think Phil's going to surprise some people. I'm not going to pick a winner in this one because I just don't know. I've never, ever, 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 ever seen Phil Brooks fight. So I don't know, but I am a believer that he can compete. And so yeah, Mickey should probably get the victory just based off, you know, Octagon experience. But don't count out Phil Brooks. If he's good enough for Duke Rufus, he's good enough for Josh Davis.
No doubt about it. Verdum versus Brown.
You know, I like Fabricio in this fight. We already know that he can outstrike him because he's shown us that. We know that his grappling and his submission game is better. I think there's more ways for Fabricio to win. He's just got to be no Fabricio, no Verdum face, none of that goofiness. He's got to be on point mentally, and I think he gets this fight.
Main event, Overeem versus Stipe.
You know, I go back and forth on this one because Overeem, he's kind of won me over in his last fights because I've questioned his heart, I've questioned his chin, and he's taken some shots and kept coming, and he looked great against Junior. He's looked good in his last few fights. But Stipe's a beast, and to be the champ, you got to beat the champ, and so I'm going to go with the champ.
All right, fight fans, there you have it. Don't forget, for this or any other episodes, you can go to the Google Play Marketplace and download the free Sports Action Network mobile app. Also, for latest MMA news and information, go to DMMA Corner. That's DMMACorner.com. Check out the latest issue of Scrap Fight Magazine. That'll be out this weekend. Out this weekend at ScrapFightMag.com. Check me out tonight on our Facebook page, Scrap Fight Mag Facebook page for Glory 33. I want to thank you, brother, for sitting in. Everybody else, they knuckled up. We'll talk next week.
Your days at the newsstand are over. Scrap Fight Magazine brings all the world's mixed martial arts action to your computer with a click of a mouse. Read articles, interviews, and feature pieces from some of the world's most respected fight journalists and get the lowdown on the biggest MMA events and fighters from across the globe. And because Scrap is digital, you'll have full access to the integrated audio and video segments. So subscribe now at www.scrapfightmag.com and get your scrap on.